Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
We thank you all for being here today at St. Charles River Church. As you know, we've got a mission team that just came home yesterday, and we are so thankful that they've made it back. For those who, if you're here, go ahead and stand up real quick. If you went on the trip, thank you. Go ahead and have a seat. Along with that, as you know, we have a young lady here who has been doing an amazing work at the Atai Orphanage in Uganda. And she's going to come give us an update of what's taking place there. Anna, if you go ahead and would come forward, give her a hand. Anna she recently completed a trip back over there, so she's going to let us know what's been taking place. And I know that you appreciate the partnership that you have here at St. Charles River Church, and we so appreciate the work that you're doing there. So give us an update.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Years ago, when the Lord spoke to me about taking care of the children, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I thought I was just going to do what my mother and my father and everybody in the village does, waking up every morning with the three huts that is your home. And going to plow the fields and plant and harvest and feed the children. I had no idea. Lately, Pastor Beru just left here and he's back with the team and he's not doing because he just woke up today and said, that's what I'm going to do. The Lord put something heavy in his heart. And he said, you go and refresh, and you will be refreshed. You go and plant a seed, and it will never die. For those of you who have gone, those memories will never, ever fade. The word you have planted to those children, to those people, will forever be with them, lifting those children, teaching them how to paint, teaching them the word of God forever will be with them. I remember I was young in a high school. My first brochure was from Billy Graham. I was in the village and I read it. It is as clear as ever. I was in a village, Catholic, and here is Billy Graham telling me about Jesus. I still remember that brochure was white, very plain, and in front of it was a cross on it, telling me that there's a Jesus and that one day he will come. Are you ready? Are you saved? And he told in that brochure, step one by one, how to say, God, come to my heart, I'm a sinner. I still have that. So when you go there and you take that word to those people, it will forever be with them. And for some of you who say that, I can't go, I don't know what to do, that brochure that came to me was not free. Every penny that you give, it has a lot. It does a lot. And you are actually going, without that, without your giving, it's practically impossible. Abraham, going this way now, Abraham, when was told, to leave his home, his comfort. That is all he knew. That was his comfort. He said, yeah, okay. He obeyed. And he left everything. Of that land, he seen it for generations. He moved. And God blessed him there. He obeyed his obedience. Some of you, when Pastor Barry said, get that checkbook, give what you have. Some of you, but when you do, you feel good because you know what you are doing. Obedience. Noah, when God said, start building a boat, he said it was crazy. Some people looked at him like, but he got his tools and he began chopping. He began chopping. Why was he doing that? Just being obedient to God. When God told Sarah she was going to have a baby, she giggled, didn't she? Because she was, it's like telling me today to have a baby. That's practically impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. Open your mouth and he will refresh you to make it sure that you get that. I'm saying all that to say, tell you that it was years ago when God told me that I was going to be a mother to so many. At that age, I had no idea what it was. I thought I was just going to start heaping potatoes, planting a cassava to raise these children. I had no idea that God picked a village girl like me to feed so many. But before I did that, he had to get me out of a village to the greatest nation on earth. To a nation where there are people like you. When I came in here, I was baffled because I couldn't comprehend the magnitude. There was so much put before me. There was plenty. There is plenty of everything. When I started thinking about the attire, I went to people, and some people laughed off their idea that you are a girl, you are a woman in this country. What can you do? But I prayed to God to bring me people who are thinking about planting seeds, about refreshing children, about giving hope. Pastor Barry just came back from a place where there is nothing but free smiles. These kids probably would have smiled. If you brought the smiles and put them here, you're going to say, why are they smiling amidst nothing? They have nothing. But you have taken them and given them hope. Saying all that to say that I am so overjoyed, so pleased that God has given me, he's just blessed me beyond measure. I'm here to show you what has taken place in the village. And it's through you a giving. I can't do it. Pastor Barry cannot just live here and go to Kurundu on his own. But through the blessing that you give, through sacrificial giving, you say yes. And it does a lot to so many children. I left here to go to Uganda in December. Last week of December, I had a Christmas with the children, the very first Christmas ever to be with the children. Thank you for sending me, because there is no way I could have done it on my own. Thank you for owning the children. Thank you for taking these children to be your own. I can't do it without you. My thinking at that time, like I said, I was thinking of harvesting potatoes and so on. But today, you have made it so I wouldn't use the word easy, but you have made it possible. All the children are going to school. All the children are fed. My main reason of going to the village during Christmas was to fence the facility, and you made it possible. And here it looks like that is the home. Sometimes I still wake up and I'm thinking that it's a dream. I didn't grow up in a house like that. I did not grow up in a house like that. I grew up in a house built with grass and cow droppings on the floor and mud on the walls. But God, if you believe in God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. So, thank you so much. Thank you for so much for being a blessing to me. And thank you for helping me bring hope to the children of Ago Village. Thank you.
Anna, before you step down, tell us what was the most impactful thing that you experienced while you were there. We want to hear from you. We do love the children. We love you. And this is our heart too. What were some of the most exciting moments when you were there?
I think to me, this was my first time ever to literally be able to have all the, usually when I go in June, July,
right,
all the kids are in the village.
Right.
I mean, in the boarding schools, they go to school. But this time, I was able to see all the children at one point and to share a meal with one of them and to hear them tell me that thank you for what you do. Wow. Change in their lives. I was able to see children having what I did not have. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I grew up, I didn't have a shoe in my feet. The first time I had a shoe, I was 18. The first time I was able to read a book, I didn't have any. I didn't have any book, but I was able to see everything that takes place, that is modern, that is called life in these children. I was able to see it there. Every time I see that, I get energy to even move, to do more. And I stand here today to tell you that I thank you so much. What impacted me mostly is to be able to be with the children, with my mother.
Wow.
And being together as this huge, big family.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Thank Hallelujah.
You. Thank you.
The children, you know, we talk so much about these trips that we take and the trip that we just completed in Kirundu, and there's projects that are to be worked, projects to be done, but all that does is, what that does, that provides us that opening to get there. Pastor Barry will tell you, in any mission trip you've been on, any mission meeting you attend beforehand, it's about the people. This is the fourth trip now we've taken to Kirundu, and really making those connections with the people and being able to see, as you see pictures now, folks that just did the trip, they put pictures on Facebook and watching the progression of some of these people that we've connected with over the years down there. It's all about people. And if you're unable to go, it's great that you are able to help reach them in other ways. And as with Anna, we can't all go to Uganda, but being able to provide the means to allow her to go and to do the work there, and we make that connection to help those children out. So thank you for your support. And we let him have off last week, so we got to get Pastor Barry up here at some point, right? So we're going to welcome Pastor Barry up to the platform.
Thank you, man. Don't go anywhere. Pastor Mike Alexander just received this week his credentials from the Assemblies of God. Would you give him the hand that he is? I am so proud of this guy. That takes diligence. I know Pastor Mike Bowie has gone through it, and I know some of the others in this congregation, you're actually going through personal study to receive credentials through particular organizations. And Pam as well, Pastor Pam is going through the very same courses that Pastor Mike. I am incredibly proud of you, and I know what it took me 9 years. It won't take you that long. It took me 9 years.
I'm going to power through it. I don't want to wait 9 years. It
took me 9 years.
Carmen doesn't want me to wait 9 years.
To get my ordination through the Assemblies of God and my bachelor's degree, it took me 9 years. And I'm telling you, I looked at that last test and I said, I'm never going to take another course again. And then God showed me my entire life as a course. So congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. Thank
congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll get this back up here. God said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I didn't say that. God said that. I got 13 of us. I'm just telling you, I can name the voices. God said to go into, Jesus actually said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is the master that said it. This isn't just a great prophet. This isn't just a great teacher. This is the one who sets the standard, who is in charge. Everybody repeat after me. Heavenly Father, you are in charge.
You are in charge.
So he's the one who gives the commission. And Jesus gave this commission. You know, we title these things, don't we? Now, can you imagine Jesus saying, now I want you to write this down and put this under Great Commission heading. I don't think that was even, I know he knows how it was going to all be because he knows all things. The word says he knows the end from the beginning. But Jesus didn't sit there and chronologically just say certain things so they'll be written down. Do you know much of what Jesus taught was never written down? Much of his own words were never written down. If you think that's true, he only had about 20 minutes worth of words to say in 3 years. I mean, read the New Testament and realize that all of the read only takes about, if you're a good reader, my wife can breeze through it in about 20 minutes. And that's the problem. Many of us breeze through it. But Jesus actually, the words of Christ are so significant that even Thomas Jefferson, he had a lot of guts. He just threw the rest of the Bible out and he just kept all the red print. But can I tell you something? If you get one of those, just one, if you'll just get one of those teachings right. Jesus said to go into all the world. He said, Anna, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so you came to the United States. I'm just saying. Get that. Get the picture. We think Anna is a missionary to Africa, to Uganda. And she is to the children in Uganda. She is their mother. She is their spiritual mother. She is their mentor. Your mother is a spiritual mother to them. But Anna is a missionary to the United States. To bring hope to us, to bring a charge to us, that somehow when we have the much, and so many have so little, love people. She is a missionary to us. By the way, Anna, you felt God commission you to take care of the children. I'm telling you, years ago, when I got that call from Gilbert, I was at St. Luke's Hospital when James died. And this is what I heard from the Holy Spirit in my heart. Take care of Anna. You take care of Anna. You take care of Anna. And I'm telling you, this church has so... Anna, if I didn't give you those, they would be upset with me. Because they own you now. And they own the children. This congregation, we together own the children in Uganda. They're our kids. And them knowing about Jesus Christ matters to us. Well, we just got back from Kirundu, where I saw some of the greatest experiences that I have ever seen. And I have just a few minutes, and I just want to share with you in the next couple of weeks, by the way, we're going to launch a series on these fundamental teachings that I believe are foundationally important for every believer. The first week when we launch it, I'm going to talk with you about the Word of God being the authoritative Word of God. I'm going to do that in 2 weeks, okay? Next week, we're going to put the team on the platform, and we're going to interview the entire team that went to Kirundu. And Carrie, you're going to join us as well, because Carrie's been there. He knows the stories. He knows the people. But we're going to put the entire team on the platform next Sunday. But I want you to know, get ready, because we're going to go through about 13 weeks. And I know, if you know the Assemblies of God, there's 16 fundamental truths. Well, I've narrowed them down to 13. I've combined a few. I don't think we need to be as redundant as some of those things are, but we're going to look at foundational truths that we believe are very, very important. By the way, number one, Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. That's it. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. I didn't say it. He said, no man comes before the Father except by me. And that doesn't mean we don't like everybody else. Paul honored all other faiths. Did you know that? So we're going to talk about those things. If you think what I just said is not true, you come and study with me, and we're going to see that Paul actually honored others' rights to believe differently. And he acknowledged them as not heathen, false God worshipers, but as people of faith. I see you're a people of great faith. Hey, listen, we have an opportunity here to reach the world. So join me in 2 weeks. We're going to do that series. Next week, we're going to bring the team onto the platform. And I want to talk with you about just a couple of experiences, because next week I won't tell you about my experiences. So that's this week. And I have the microphone and I get to. Is everybody okay with that? Okay. So this week I saw a team, the largest team I've ever led, 27 people to Kirundu. And I missed some of you, Rob and Rhonda. We missed you. You're going next time. Don't say no. So anyway, yeah, you're going to. So we walked into Kirundu. Can I tell you what was different this time about Kirundu than any other time? Bob said it on Sunday morning at church. We were at Crossview Church. And for those of you who didn't come to church last week, I did. Just had a thought. And by the way, if you're away with family, we always bless that. We don't judge that. But we were in Crossview Church in Panama City, and Pastor Bob was teaching it, and the whole Sunday was about Kirundu. Pastor Mike, you've been there. How many of you have ever been to Kirundu with me? Stand up. I want you to stand up. Kirundu, you've been there with me. Stand up. Look at this contingency of families and members that have given them a hand. They have sacrificed to be in Kirundu. Thank you. So Pastor Bob said something to us. He said, you know, what's different about you guys is you come back. He said, others have come once. And he said, we appreciate that. Boy, we appreciate all the one-timers. But he said, the difference is the reason there's such a closeness with Kirundu to St. Charles River Church is because they actually see you're coming back, and you keep coming back, and that keeps giving more value. And every time you walk back in, it gives more value because you reconnect with Sylvia. You reconnect with Adela. You reconnect with, these are administrators. You reconnect with Eric, the director of the school. You reconnect with the children, with Anna. How many of you loved Anna? You know Anna. Anna hasn't changed. Her kids are growing up. Samir, he's the same. He keeps begging me for gum every time I get there. Pastor Barry, gum, gum. I said, go talk to Mama Gina. And he goes, okay. Then I said, first you got to go talk to Mama. Anna, okay. You know what was different this time? They greeted us as family. Because you see, we know you love us now. I learned something on this trip. It's easy to say, we love you so much, we'll be back. We love you so much, I love you, dude, I want to mentor you. I love you, I want to mentor you. It's easy to say a lot of things. And it's easier to walk away and forget to ever do them. It's easier to come back here and get so caught up with work and the things we want to invest our monies in, those things we love to have. And by the way, everybody loves to have a good toy. By the way, a Hot Wheels, little bitty Hot Wheels in Kirundo is Christmas. You remember, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. They're not greedy. They're not greedy. They are not greedy. They know what the value of this. I'll never see one just like this again. I may never have one of these again. And they protect it. And the smiles I saw on these children's faces was amazing. I saw them. There's a gentleman that we invited on the trip. He'd gone with us in years gone by at another church. Mark Weaver came on the trip. This guy won second place in Mr. Missouri. The Hulk. By the way, wherever Mark went, these kids were running up on him. You know, he's walking through, you know, these kids are going, you're grabbing onto his arms are that big. Am I lying?
No, they're huge.
I mean, they're huge. The lady at the airport, when it was time to do the pat down, she goes, kind of like, where do I start? You know? And the other ladies were kind of chiding her a little bit like, yeah, you're lucky. You know, you're the lucky one. But Mark is, he owns Weaver Steel. They built the dome. That's Trans World Dome. They own a large steel company, you know, don't you? Yep. Mary Ellen goes back with us several years with First Assembly of God, and she knows the Weavers. And so I invited Mark, and Mark is, these kids are piling on Mark and loving on Mark. And it's what Pastor Mike said a few minutes ago. These gringos are walking in there, and these kids are just, the smiles on their faces. Do you know the abuse these children go through when they get home? The sexual abuse. Most of them don't have a father. You're right. Most of them don't have a... There's so few men in this community. And these children come to school in their uniforms, and it's the safest 5 to 6 to 7 hours they'll have of their entire day, because when they leave that place, the abuse that they... And most of the situations, no, we don't judge them. But most of those situations are simply this. These are mothers that don't have a job. They're in Kirundo. It makes East St. Louis and North City look like a park. And these mothers are trying to find a way to feed their children, so they allow abusive men to come into their homes and they abuse children. And tragedy is, but when these children are with us, they're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They use the Bible. They actually use the Bible to teach them English. This school is above the public school system. They actually have people that come in and actually care about these children. And they are cooperating with the mothers, and they give them a fantastic rate just to come there. And they learn how to read and write. And they learn how to live it with the hope that I'm someday going to go on to school, into college. They've actually had students that have graduated and gone on to college. Nobody graduates out of Kirundo and goes on to college. If you're a woman, you stay in prostitution. If you're a man, you go into gangs. And if you live up to 30, you have lived a long life because you haven't been shot in a drug deal. Because you've been in them. And the police, how many of you, some of you got to go and tour the police station. Are any of you here? You got who? Rick got to go tour the police station, went into the police department. Next week, I want you to talk about that, Rick. I want you to kind of give a firsthand of what he said their old approach was versus their new approach. Okay. So I don't want to get into that today. I don't have that much time, but I want you to know something. Wherever we went, the Spirit of God went before us. Wherever we went, whether it was Kirundo or whether it was Casco Viejo or no matter where we went, or when we walked across the parking lot on this particular morning, we were going to the project. And we were all 27 of us walking over to the vans. And this security guard had been there many years. I've known this man for several years now. I've been there now many years many trips. And I've met him, talked with him. And on several occasions, as I would walk by him, I would just feel the Spirit of God prompt me to bless this brother. He's just sitting there. Remember the chair? The infamous chair. He guards the parking lot at the Country Inn and Suites, our hotel. It's a very safe hotel. It's an elegant chair, by the way. The whole back is ripped out of it. It's an old desk chair for a secretary, potentially. And most of the back is gone, and the padding's all gone on the bottom. And it doesn't do much spinning. It just sits there, and that's his chair. And he's in his uniform. So I've walked by many times, and I've blessed this brother because I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to. And as we were herding across, and I mean literally, it was a herd of people going across the street. You do that so that they don't pick you off one at a time. So we herded ourselves across the street. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me, Mike, he just said, bless him incredibly. Bless him incredibly. And I'm just being real with you guys. I'm thinking, Lord, we're running out of project money quick. Because you see, we got there and within the first day, I was running to the Orocha, which is their Walgreens. I was running to fill $500 worth of blood pressure medicine prescriptions. And that came immediately the first day right out of the project money. So it was just a few days into it, I really felt God speak to me as I was walking by this man. And I knew what he'd told me. And so I pulled, this is monies that you send, by the way. This is the impact that you have when you send, when you feed the children in Uganda and the Atai orphanage, or whether you send me past a guard there at, and any of the rest of you could have felt the same prompting. But I did. I know I felt it. And so I pulled a $100 bill out of my left pocket. And as I walked by, I rolled it up and I said, mi hermano, it's mi brother, my brother. I said, mi hermano, ¿cómo está? How are you? Oh, he said, bien, bien. I said, Dios te bendiga, mi hermano. God bless you. And I put it in his hand and he sat there and he looked at it. So we went on. I just patted him on the shoulder and we went on. I won't give you the whole detail, but I will tell you when we came back that night, the herd of us were coming back across the street out of the parking lot and he's still there. This brother works a lot of hours. He might make $5,000 a year. I mean, when you graduate college in Panama, an average good salary is $12,000 to $14,000 a year. Just so when you graduate college, I said. And so he calls me over. Everybody saw him. He's going, mi hermano, mi hermano, mi hermano, mi hermano. Give me a key, a key, a key. So I go over to him and I says, see, he says, mi hermano. And he tells me in Spanish. I couldn't repeat exactly what he said, but I know I understand better than I speak it. And he said, this morning, right before, 3 minutes before you came by, I was sitting there saying, oh, Dios, por favor, dinero, oh, por favor, oh, Dios. Oh, and then he told me some of the things he needed some money for. And he was begging God, help me with money. Please help me with money. Please help me with money. And as I walk, and then he says, and two. And you, give me this. He says, out in the middle of the street, Gloria, adios, Gloria, adios, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. God heard him. I didn't know I was going to get, I got other things to do with that $100 bill. In my mind, I'm thinking, Karundu, Karundu, Karundu. God said, I sent you here. Don't ignore people on the way. How many people did Jesus walk by on the way to a ministry and he would stop and he would heal the brokenhearted or he would give sight to the blind. Think about this. The blind, he wasn't just going to the blind man. He was going to other people who had needs. Think about the woman who was chasing him and needed to touch the hem of his garment because she needed healing, because she needed something. And I'm telling you, he never walked so fast nobody could catch him. Because she caught him. The woman who knew, by the way, this is what the law says. The law says if you touch an individual that's unclean, you are automatically made clean. Automatically. And she knew this. She knew once I touch him, the law says he's unclean. And this is the first time in history when someone who is unclean touches a person who is clean, and not only do they not become unclean, she became clean. First time in all of history. And she recognized that, and so did Jesus. He said, I felt the power go out of me. You see, Jesus walked by. He could heal from his backside. He could heal from his front side, because everything about Jesus was about meeting people's needs. And I would tell you, wherever you go, you have a kurundu. And no matter where you are, you're in the middle of a kurundu, because kurundu simply means this: I need God. It's just the needs are different. Y'all asleep? Kurundu is just, in multiple languages, is simple for this: I'm desperate for God. And wherever we are, we have a kurundu. But some of you work in places, they're much more nicely dressed. Do you know, seriously? In kurundu, the children get one meal a day. They get one meal a day. That's what going there does. Part of what we do, we're building them the new, we built them, or continuing to build them the new kitchen. Some of you worked on the construction, the apartments for the teachers, because they can't afford to pay the teachers very well. But they can incentivize them by giving them a home there in Kurundu, an apartment of their own. I will tell you, time after time, when we left this place, Bob, he's a missionary to Panama. He's been there for 33 years, pastored the church, runs now about 700. He turned the church over to his son, and now his heart is completely about Kurundu. And he sat there on that last night, and I want the team members to hear this, and he said, "You have no idea. You have no idea how much this means to me." Mary came to me separately, his wife, just a godly lady, senior citizen. She said, "Barry, Bob came home with so much energy every night." No, he was tired. He was whipped. But his heart was full of energy, because others care to get the name of the school in Spanish interprets this: together we can. Together we can. Ana, together we can reach the children at the Itai orphanage. Together we can reach Uganda for Jesus Christ. Together we can reach Panama, Kurundu. Together we can reach Brito in Guatemala, where we minister to the children in the orphanage. Together we can. It's just a matter of being together on it. And that was the message that Bob kept bringing to us. I can't do this without you. It's so easy, guys. It's so easy. This is not a, "Hey, we went." This is not about that at all. This is, "Hey, you're a part of Kurundu too. I'm not there unless you make it possible for me to be in Kurundu. Anna's not there unless we make it possible for her to be at the Itai orphanage, loving on those kids." I'm telling you, this is my heart, because I believe this is the heart of Jesus. And I'll wrap up with this. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children." When the children were running to Jesus, trying to get to Jesus. Anna, when your children were running and trying to get to Jesus. When the children in Kurundu were running and trying to get to Jesus. Get this. I just want you to get the irony of this picture. It wasn't drug dealers that were keeping the children from getting to Jesus. It wasn't abusive men trying to keep the little girls back from Jesus. It wasn't politicians trying to keep them from getting to Jesus. It was Christians not recognizing the value that the children need to get to Jesus. Everything I just described, we think that's who would keep them from getting to Jesus. Jesus looked at his closest followers and he said, "You suffer the little children that come unto me." And let me modern translate it. "Don't you stop those children from getting to me. In fact, make sure you do everything it takes to get those children to me. For such is the kingdom of heaven." And if you want to be in this kingdom of heaven, we have to be just like these. So I want to thank you, St. Charles River Church. I want to thank you that came to the concert, the reunion of the concert, the Bethel Airs that I sang with so many years. Thank you for those of you who bought tickets and then couldn't come. You still bought the ticket. You invested in Kurundu. Thank you for those of you who walked up and said, look, I know I can't go this year, but I want to send this. Because I want you to know, you went to Panama. And this is what Mary said to me. Barry, there are other churches that do come. She said, I will never give you the impression there are other churches that don't come. But when St. Charles River Church comes, Bob gets so happy. He gets so happy because he doesn't feel alone. He said, get this. This is what she said to me. Many times Bob has to go to the United States to tell those churches and to thank those churches and to plead for finance from those churches that help us in other states. But she said, never once have you required Bob to come there and plead. I've invited Bob. He's always welcome to this platform. I've told him that. Anytime he wants. He could walk in the door next Sunday and I'd let him have the platform. But she said, Barry, he really feels that St. Charles River Church is a partner with us, and we're not even affiliated with the Assemblies of God. Don't tell Springfield I said that. Yep, put that from scratch. That. No, let that play. It's okay. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, this is the day the Lord has made, and I rejoice in it. I'm glad in it. We ask you, Father, as we leave this place today, Pastor Mike is coming here to receive an offering, Lord, and I'm asking you that God, as we prepare to give, that Lord, you would speak into the hearts of St. Charles River Church. Lord, bring us alive. Lord, bring us alive. You are bringing this church alive. Even now as we speak, you're bringing us alive. We sense, God, what's going on in this church. And it's bigger than just Kirundu. It's bigger than Uganda. It is the power of God unto salvation. And you are bringing us alive by the power of your Spirit. I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will pour out your Spirit in this church, not just so that we can go out into all the world and preach the gospel, but that we can go across the street and bring people to the saving knowledge of a Lord that loves them incredibly. In Jesus' name. And every believer said, amen. God bless you guys.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharles.com. riverchurch.org.